Morning. On the back table, there are some cards there, like business cards, says, Got Questions? And this particular organization was begun by Scott Hoodman, who is the son-in-law to Dennis LaFleur that used to pastor the Baptist Church in Messina. And he and his wife and family out in the Colorado Springs area, and they started this thing online of Got Questions. And you can send them any question you want to, and you'll get an answer. It's not going to be in a hurry because they get millions, literally millions of questions every week. But the thing is that it goes out on the airways under gotquestions.org, and they get like 93 million hits so far this year on that thing. They read this, what's online, and then they, if they want to hear about salvation, they request a different sheet, and they send them then the sheet to find out how to get saved. And they've had 87,000 plus, trust the Lord, around the world this year. So it's important that we keep first things first and take one of those and utilize it. If you get on their site, you'll get testimonies, and they'll tell you what's happening and so forth. And there's always questions they've answered for somebody else that everybody can learn. So this morning, I want to ask you the question, do you know anybody that's lost? And if you know anybody that's lost, do you realize that they're on their way to hell? Do you care? Are you aggressively trying to reach them? I'm going to give you a few verses, and then we'll depart thereof and give the lesson. Mark 8:36 says, For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're lost. And you can lose your own soul going that path. Proverbs 11:30 says, The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 14:25 says, A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. And Jude 22, it says, Some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Compassion means having pity. Do you have pity on those that are lost because they don't know the peace that you know and their souls end? We need to pity these souls. I'm going to deal with the word passion for just a moment. In a letter for each word, it means strong emotion. That's part of that word, compassion. The P stands for soul. That's the purpose. The A is action. Go. That's what the Lord Jesus told us to do. Go ye therefore. S is sacrifice. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live, live in the flesh by the Son of Man who gave himself for me. S is also suffering. Then we come to the letter I. It's an investment. You're going to invest time, talents, resources, intent. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. O, object of our desire. That is to requires loving one another with a smiling face. And of course the end, the last one is now. Today is a salvation day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The psalmist tells us in 126, verse 5 and 6, They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bring his sheaves with them. I want to tell you about my beginning this morning. And you think about your beginning. Where did your salvation start? Where did your exposure to the Lord Jesus Christ begin? My wife was working in a salad factory in Berwick, Iowa, and a lady gave her a calling card from their little church, invited us to come, and as a result, we went there. When we visited that church, I didn't like what I heard because he preached against my sin. I'm not going to go into detail about that, but the thing is that it started something because the next Thursday night, somebody came and knocked on my door, and every Thursday night thereafter. I'd like to ask us as an assembly this morning, how many have we gone to see of our visitors after they've attended and spent a Sunday with us here in this place? Finally, I went back to church anyway, and yet I went Sunday night determined I was not going to get saved because I like my sin. but I did. And in between those times and before, there are lots of prayer for my salvation, some of which came from people here. But this thing of visitation, it went on week after week after week. That visitation was done by people, regular Christians that cared, didn't want me to go to hell. Personal interest was expressed during the visit. And of course, when you get to the personal interest, oftentimes it would lead to that which is spiritual. And by the way, if you'd like to get started in reaching souls for Christ, I have some one-liners that will give you a start down the path of giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'll give you a copy if you ask me. So then the next thing is sometimes that there's somebody gets saved when you go out on visitation because the fact you've expressed your care and concern for them. So to win a soul, you have to care and show it. Care where that soul is going to spend eternity. Do you care where that soul is going that you know that's lost? Do you care what they're going, where they're going to spend forever? And of course, the other thing is we need to tell them. It is appointed that a man wants to die. After this, the judgment. I think I've used the illustration here where a lady, she said, I didn't know much scripture, but as she talked to this professor in the college, she says, I don't know about that. She says, I know that the Bible says that it's appointed unto man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. And he came unglued and routed, or railed upon her for saying that, and then she gave it to him about two more times, and he went off in a huff, but that night he got saved. One verse. The main thing is that we tell them the truth, that they can have life eternally. Everybody's sinners, but God loves you. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And for by grace are you saved through faith, not yourselves. It's a gift of God. You have to plant the seed, the word of God, and then you water it with prayer. This morning I'm going to give you some of my experiences as the Lord took me to various places and gave opportunity for the gospel on a one-on-one basis. Early on in my ministry in the 60s, I don't know how it came about, but I got an invitation from Grand Junction, Colorado, which I'd never been there before, to come and hold a week's meetings in a Bible-Presbyterian church. We were living in St. Joe, Missouri at the time, and that's a long drive from St. Joe, Missouri. So I got on the bus and rode that bus to Grand Junction, Colorado. I don't recommend you do that. When we got there, this church, not very many folks there, and you could count on one hand all the people that were there that were under 65 to 70 years old. There was one young lady came the first night or two, and then she didn't come again. So I inquired about that, and the pastor, he was a single man, told me that her parents wouldn't let her come. So the next day, we went out to see the parents. He said, he might run us off. Would you go into something where he would charge you or challenge you and get on you for coming? Well, we went. His place was kind of a junkyard, but he was out in the yard, thankfully. We didn't have to get him out of the house. And as we commenced to talk to him, I didn't mince any words, but dealt with where he's going to spend eternity because he's already walking with two canes. As we talked to him about the Lord, he commenced to cry. His wife was like there, and he chose to get saved. So did she. He might run us off. Would you go? That night, he came to meeting himself. And because of his ailments, he had to take a hold of his pants like this, lift each leg up like this to get up the steps to get into that meeting. But needless to say, that did a lot for the people that went there to see the change that God had used in his life. Down in South Texas, being Manville, I've held Bible schools many times there. And this one young lady, about 25 to 28 years old, came regularly to the meeting, broke bread with the saints there, and was married to the correspondent's son, and she helped in the classes every day. And she'd help teach the kids their memory verses and so forth. As it was a regular thing, we had a family night. And on family night, after I had the puppet story and gave the gospel, everybody went out to see all the crafts and drink coffee and so forth. But here comes Sarah back again. And she was crying. She said, "I don't know where I'd go if I die." So we went back in a little room in the corner. We call it the prayer room. And sat down. I says, "Well, Sarah, let's look at this." And every verse I was going to show her, she quoted. She knew the scripture. She says, "Mr. Brown, you need to realize that my daddy was a Baptist preacher." And I went forward as a child because I knew that's what they wanted me to do. But I don't know. I told Sarah, I says, "You really do know what you need to do. And that is take the gift." She did. Started a youth meeting. As a result, went on for the Lord. But she had to admit to herself first, "I lied to me. I told me I was saved, and I wasn't. I lied to my husband. I lied to those 100 people I broke bread with." But the Lord was victorious. Later on, several years down the road, at another closing meeting from Bible school, it was a large auditorium, about three times as big as this one, at least. And as I always do, give the gospel after puppet story for the family. I was talking to a young man about going to Germany, as he was a German. We were going later on. This lady come up and stood right here beside me, and she just stood right there. So I dismissed my conversation and turned to her and said, "We need to talk." Went over to the side of the auditorium and sat down. There were several folks back in the back corners. I says, "What do you want to talk about?" She says, "I need to get saved." I said, "How do you know?" She said, "I'm a sinner." That's the first thing they have to admit. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. And needless to say, she did get saved. But God brings these people to you if you're ready. He will use you as he sees fit. Emmanuel Bible Camp, Prince Edward Island, Canada. Had about 80 kids in camp that week. And the Lord began to bless the first day. Souls got saved. Had two sessions a day. Used the Two Roads, Two Destinies chart showing eternity to eternity. I think there was like close to 40 or more trusted the Lord that week. One evening, a little boy stayed behind to talk to me. We sat down, and I gave him the gospel, and he says, "I want to take Jesus now." So he did. As normal, the tears flowed from here. He went on back to his cabin, happy as a lark in Christ. And when we got there, the counselor had each one give their testimony where they were. And he said, "I just got saved." And the preacher cried over me. Four more chose to get saved because somebody cared enough to shed a tear. You can do that. You can be used of God with just a tear. Down on the island of Nevis, probably 20 years ago now, we had a Sunday school out in the outcroppings there in a little park for the underprivileged that couldn't get to Sunday school. And this one little boy, he was wired. I mean, he was full of vinegar. And it was quite difficult to control him. But he did sit down long enough to hear the message and accept it. And he got saved. I was down there 15 years later, and he's still going on for the Lord. Now he goes to that Sunday school and helps lead it and direct the children to the Lord Jesus Christ. So take up every opportunity you have wherever you are. When I was in South Africa, country of Zambia, for 3 weeks, I had a week of gospel meetings as a spiritual emphasis week. This one little boy stepped aside to talk to me later on in the week, and I talked to him about the Lord and salvation, and that he needed to get saved and so forth, and went along, and I says, if you want to talk further, just come see me. And so, and I was sitting on the wall outside the dining hall one day for lunch, and he came by, and I thought, well, he wants to talk some more. But this is what he said: it's okay. It's okay. What's it? His salvation was okay. He knew he was saved. The island of St. Kitts. One of my first trips to the West Indies, I spent 10 days on St. Kitts. We had gospel meetings every night the first week in a gospel hall there. Used the puppets as a springboard for the message. And before the message, they brought this fellow down and introduced him to me. His name was Reggie. And he was known in the area as Calypso Reggie because he was a street dancer. Didn't live a very good life, needless to say. But Reggie sat on the front row. Just so happened that night I preached on hell. And after the message, I was putting the puppets away. They said, you got to get them ready to go back in the room so they don't get stolen. And Reggie came up and he says, I like the message. You don't hear that too much. You preach on hell, they all run the other way. Because they don't like to think about the possibility that's where I'm going to go. Well, went by. I said, Reggie, you come back. So he didn't. He missed the next night. And then on Wednesday night he came. But he was so drunk he could smell him from there to here. And he sat on the front row. We had some places along the side there. It was a choir loft, you might say, where they sat when they sang. At the close of each lesson, I would always tell them, if you want to talk about salvation, talk about the Lord, whatever it is, well, come over here and sit down, and I'll come by and sit and talk to you. Well, that night, Reggie came. He sat down over there. And I said, what do you want to talk about, Reggie? He says, I surrender. He says, I surrender. Now, mind you, he's just passed or still inebriated. So how far do you take the conversation? But at this point in time, he had sobered up adequately to know what he was doing. After we spent some time in the Word, he chose to put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And then come Friday or Saturday morning, I was to go on from St. Kitts to Nevis down at the ferry dock, and the brethren were going to have a street meeting there with a microphone and all, and they give out the gospel, and there's people lined up there selling their vegetables and so on. There's all kinds of crowds there, a lot of them going on the ferry over to Nevis, and they asked Reggie if he'd give his testimony, and he said, oh, yeah, he would. Anyway, I got up there, and he told everybody, and when they said Reggie is going to give his testimony, everything stopped. Because everybody knew Reggie. They knew his life. They knew what he stood for. And he says that he took Jesus as his Savior, and Jesus don't lie. Think about it. Does Jesus lie? Did he lie to you? He's not going to lie to those around you either. So the thing is that Reggie then took the, oh, by the way, I told him then if he, on Friday night it was, I asked him if he had a Bible on Thursday night, and he said, no. I said, you be here on Friday night and I'll have a Bible for you. So I got him a Bible, and gave it to him. And after I left and went on the ferry across to the island of Nevis, Reggie took that Bible and went in all business downtown and told them they need to get saved. Did you do that after you got saved? I've been reading a little book by Dr. Walter Wilson, who had many experiences of people when they needed the Lord, and how that God brought him to them. Every morning he would pray that God would put somebody in his path that day that was hurting or needed the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And he did. That is, God did. And Dr. Wilson was there waiting. One specific situation was rather bad, I would say, because this lady came to Dr. Wilson. He worked in a factory and a lot of sewing machines, and I don't know what happened the first time or two, but she came a couple of times, and then finally she came to him, and she had a needle through her finger. And he said something about her being those other times. She said, "Well, doctor, I put the needle through my finger because I wanted you to talk to me about the Lord." Is there somebody out there waiting for you or me to talk to about the Lord? They may take you to coffee. They may talk weather or whatever with you. Don't forget, God cares. He wants to use you as a vessel, a mouthpiece for him. My first visit to Nassau, Bahamas. Everybody said, "I don't need to go to the Bahamas because a lot of kids over there." So after several correspondence and so forth, I was invited to come and teach the kids at their Easter conference. And the fellow was supposed to pick me up at the airport, and he wasn't there, but he said, "Take a cab to the such and so address, and they'll have a place for you there." And it was an apartment house that he owned, and he had a place for me, all right, and the curtains were blowing out the window, very ragged and tattered, and there was it was a mission field, because there was drug users, drug pushers, live-ins, one prostitute, and one preacher. What do? I try to have a puppet story and give them the gospel, and the devil exploded a transformer across the street and put the lights out, thus ending the meeting. But I talked to this one guy, and he said, "I need to talk to you." He says, "I really need to talk to you." I said, "Well, I'm right there on the end. That's where I live. Come any time." He never did come. Before I left, I heard him. He rode a motorcycle, and he always put a chain around the wheel so nobody could steal it. I heard him coming in, because he had to park it out front, put the chain on, and come up the steps. So I met him at the top of the stairs. I said, "You said you were going to come see me." "Well, yeah." He started studying around. He says, "But you said you'd pray for me." I said, "Yes, I did. But," I says, "my prayers don't save you." And he was, here's another door right there at the top of the stairs, and this lady came out and snatched him in. End of conversation. So the thing is, now this apartment house, mind you, is probably from here to the, well, it wouldn't even be from here to the street out there. Right across the way was the place you could rent a movie for a buck. And if you went over there to get it, they would have to push a button to let you in. So I was in the second worst place in Nassau, social standing. There was another fellow there. He was, by the way, I had asked him to help me with the puppets. I need another hand, so I asked this fellow around there. And he came, and he says, "Where is everybody?" And I says, "They haven't showed up." So I had set up behind a wall here, and they were going to sit on the steps. So he went out and knocked every door, and he says, "Time, it's time." We'd given the secretary the information. She put up a sign and says, "The preacher's going to have a lesson here at such and so time. Be there or be square." Well, he got some folks out with their kids. They came and sat down. Of course, when that thing went off, well, then that is, the power went off, then he everything stopped. We went out and sat on the steps, and there's sometimes in some people, if you know a little bit about their background and how they live, you have to be a little more bold, is the good word. So I says, if I took my 357 blow to hold you right now, where would you go? He said it wouldn't be good. But he wasn't ready to change that. So I'm several other times in different places, and he still wasn't ready to change. Now, mind you, it wasn't all in my mission field there, because when I was there, I got to go to the schools. One particular grade school I went to, and I don't know how many grades it had, but there was 900 little boys and girls there. They were lined up, I think I'm like smoked oysters in can. They're all black and just all had souls. It was Mom's Day, so I got to tell them and Mom and Dad about the Lord Jesus. God arranged that. I didn't. So when we think about that, we need to realize that God can and will use you. And he puts you in places you may not want to be. Because as I was in my room there, oh, by the way, I think I've told you this before, that I had some, shall we say, resident people living with me, or things. They were about this long without the tail. So you think about that, and are they going to start chewing on my leg? I told the owner of the place about it, and so he brought me little mouse traps, some sticky ones. And I says, I kind of laughed. I says, they'll put one of them on each foot and go skiing. So he brought me some bigger ones the next day and a hammer. He says, now if you hear anything, you know what to do. Well, I heard something. But I went and followed it, and lo and behold, this rat had gotten to the hole where he come in my bathroom and pulled himself loose from that trap. Well, I put the toilet top down there to stop him coming back, and then the proprietor came in, put it back on the stool, and I says, wait a minute. So I ended up putting a pop can in the hole, and it kind of reduced my residence a little bit. But the thing is, all night long in the street, in the hall, outside of my room, there were people that needed the Lord. You can't talk to them all, but you can pray for them. You can try to reach out to them and do what the Lord will allow you to do. Another trip to Nassau, the brother did pick me up at the airport that time, took me downtown to a motel. He'd arranged for my place to stay. He says, you be out here at 6 o'clock tonight, and I'll pick you up, and myself and another elder will go and take you out to dinner. So at 6 o'clock that evening, I came out of my room, sat on the flower outside there. They have some rocks around the flowers, and sat down there. Here come this white car in. It looked just like the one I got there in. So I got up off the place, went over and got in and sat down. And this driver looked at me like, who are you? Wrong car. Why did I meet that guy? He needed the Lord Jesus Christ. So we talked about eternity. He said, well, I'm not saved. He says, I got it right up here, but I don't have it right here. It may not happen the first time. Mindful that week, he was back a couple more times. I saw him out there as he's come seeking for someone to take somewhere as a cabbie. He wasn't a full-fledged cabbie, but a private one. But to my knowledge, he never got saved. The fellow that I was going to shoot, last time I saw him was on the island. Over there, again, he didn't want to talk, but he still realized he's on his way to eternity. There's a man right here in Atlantic that I had witnessed to for a good while. Gave him the gospel, had some relationships in the business world with him, and so forth. And it was mountain in the fall, and it's time for my birthday in November, and so we invited he and his wife out to our house for supper. So we had supper, and then I said, well, let's go in the front room and sit down. So while Alice was cleaning up the kitchen and so forth, I went in and sat down, and I commenced to talk to him about the Lord, and I asked where are you going to go when you die? He He says, how come you're always talking to me and you never talk to her? And he talked to his, pointed to his wife. I says, well, I want to know if you're saved. Are you? And he said, yes. And his wife went like this. He'd been watching television and hearing the gospel further. And in the night, he got saved and didn't tell his wife. I told his to his wife, I said, how about you? And she says, I'm with him. So we got down by the couch, and she trusted Christ. So the thing is that you have to be ready. Don't stop pushing. If you start down the trail, don't give up. It will indicate that you don't really care anymore. You've got to care from start to finish. And of course, Jesus does. And he will use you. Down in a place in Manville, Texas, my first visit there, I said on Sunday night prior to beginning the Bible school, I says, now when I leave, I said, you guys are going to have to carry on because I said, I won't be here. And I challenge you to keep on keeping on. Well, this couple, Johnny and Ruth, they went there regularly. Ruth, she came to me out the second or third morning, and she says, Mr. Brown, she says, I want you to know I voted against you coming here for Bible school. Well, that's all right, Ruth. She says, but I've been hearing about the Bible school all over town. So that week I used her to lead a soul to Christ. We had them lined up to get saved on the back row pew, one at a time we talked. Well, Johnny and Ruth, I had took them out to dinner, another visit to Houston when my daughter was still there. And when we got out to dinner, they commenced to tell my daughter the story that your dad challenged us to keep on keeping on. And she says, we went to this couple's house of friends and commenced to talk to them about the Lord, and they didn't want nothing to do with it. Johnny fixed their screen door. He repaired their car. He fixed their plumbing, crawled under the house and fixed the plumbing. All these dirty jobs, but nothing spiritual. She says, one night we were sitting home watching TV, and the phone rang. And it was this lady. And she says, what are you doing? I said, well, we're just watching TV and eating popcorn. She says, I want you to come over and bring your Bible. So they went over and led them to Christ. Why? They could see through the keeping on, that they cared. Cared enough to help them in a physical way, that their spiritual souls could be blessed as a result of that. My nephew is going to get married. Wanted me to marry him. I didn't know anything about the girl he was going to marry, so we met him over in Des Moines at the History Farm for a meal and sat there at the table and commenced to talk to her where she was going to go when she died and about eternity. And I could see readily that she was under conviction and concerned. And so when we finished her meal, I asked her, I said, would you like to come out to the car and we'll further the conversation? She said, yes. So we went out to the car and sat down and went through the things about the Lord, salvation, how to get saved, and she chose to get Jesus as her Savior that night. So the thing is, you've got to start someplace. If you never start, you'll never finish. That one you know that's lost on his way to hell is waiting for you. They're not going to start it. Most of them are running from Jesus and the truth and the Bible. But the thing is, we can be effective. And so we need to realize that we can be used here, there, other places. Now, a lot of my, as you might say, well, you're a preacher and you had all these opportunities. That's true. But you know, how many people do you walk by every day in your daily walk? How many people do you have living next to you? How many do you talk to over the back fence, over the grocery counter, and so forth? God cares. I'd like to tell you a little story to kind of close up things here this morning. this dad, who was a pastor, and his son used to go out and pass out tracts on Sunday afternoon. This one particular Sunday, it was raining and cold, and so when they got home and had their dinner, why, the boy went and got all his heavy clothes on, as best he could to be dry, and he came to his dad. He says, "I'm ready." His dad says, "Ready for what?" He says, "I'm ready to go out and pass out tracts." Dad says, "Oh, no." He says, "I'm not going." Said that in this cold and wet, "I'm not going." So he says, "Dad, aren't people still going to hell even though it's raining?" So he asked permission to go. And as he went, he took his tracts, went downtown, and raining, walked around there for about 2 hours, got soaked, got cold, had one tract left. He went around this corner, and there's a house there with a light, and so he thought, I'll go to this house. So he went to the house, rang the doorbell, nobody came. He was about to turn and go, but when he got to the edge of the porch, something kept him there. So he went back and rang the doorbell again, and then he beat on the door with his hand. And finally, this little old lady came to the door. And she says, "What can I do for you, son?" He had a great smile, lit up her world. He says, "Ma'am, I'm sorry if I disturb you. I just wanted to tell you that Jesus really does love you. I came to give my very last gospel tract, which tell you all about Jesus and his great love." So he left. The next Sunday morning, this little old lady was on the back row. And the preacher says, "Does anybody have a testimony or something like to say this morning?" And she stood up and she said, "You folks don't know me. I'd never been here before. And last Sunday I was lost. And this little boy came and caused my heart to leap, a heart that had been long dead. Leap to life, cherub-like voice. And it said, I just came to tell you that Jesus really does love you." She said that doorbell began to ring, and she says, "I was up in the attic, and I was distraught and not wanting to live anymore. So I had taken a chair and a rope, tied the rope to the rafters, had put it around my neck, and I was up on the chair, and I was ready to jump. But the doorbell wouldn't quit ringing. So I went down. And I read every word of that tract. And today, I'm saved. Because one little boy was willing to go out in the rain and the cold to give out tracts. The last one to someone that really needed it. So the biggest question for each one of us here today is, have I ever led a soul to Christ? Think about it. Have you ever? All your life, whether it's 10 years, 20 years, 50 years or beyond, ever led a soul to Christ? There are going to be many Christians going into eternity who have never, ever, ever led a soul to Christ. And I might ask you also, if you're here this morning, have you come to Christ for salvation? Have you claimed the gift? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has a gift for you, and he wants you to have it, but he's not going to force you to take it. So if you'd like to receive that gift this morning, I'll be here a bit. Come along, and we'll talk about it. If you've already received it, remember what you have and share it. Tell somebody about it. Tell them what Jesus did for you and he can do for them if they'll but take the gift and receive him as Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can be here, we can enjoy your presence and each other. And we pray that as we leave this place today, that we might realize that we're going to pass people, talk to people that really need the Lord Jesus. They might come to know you as personal Savior. And may you use us and our voice to accomplish that for your glory, as your Spirit deals with them using the Word of God, the seed of the gospel, that we will water it with prayers and let you bring the increase. And dismiss us with your blessings, Lord. And if there's one here that needs Christ today, may this be the day that they will rejoice, as did that little old lady, having received one tract, and Jesus loves you. In Jesus' name we pray.